CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're always glad to join with you and look for a great hour as we spend this time answering questions about the Bible from the Bible. If you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, give us a call. We'll do our very best. We're not claiming we know everything. We have read through the Bible many times, though, and I think we can give you an answer to what the Bible really says on that topic. And so just again, 8888-ASK-CSN, and we'll do our very best to answer your question for you today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker on the Weekend Times, Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel, Festus, Missouri. Hi and welcome.
Hello, Mike, and it's great to be back with you again and here on a Thursday this time, but I was away for most of the month of May, but it's so good to be back with you and the listeners and answering Bible questions, so thanks for having me here on a Thursday.
Always a blessing to have you with us, and what's going on at Festus, Missouri?
Oh, my. Well, you know, we just got back, actually, my wife and I and my youngest son went with us. We went to minister at our church that we helped plant back 15 years ago in Kenya. And so we went there, and they have a conference every year. So I spoke at the conference there and spoke at another Calvary Chapel near Nairobi. And spoke at U-Turn for Christ there in Kenya, which was great. And we had a wonderful trip and just had all sorts of opportunities to teach the Bible and then also to minister to people, you know, on a personal level. And it was a wonderful time. And so when we got back, which was last week, we shared with the church all that was going on with our church over there. While I was there, we were able to lay hands on another one of the assistant pastors of that church to send them out to Nairobi, actually, to start a Calvary Chapel there. And that will be now the third associate pastor from that church they have sent out to different areas in Africa. They sent one young man, and I've been blessed to be able to be there each time we've done that and laid hands on, prayed for them and blessed them. And but we've sent one to South Africa, we've sent one to the Congo, and now one to another part of Nairobi, or to another part of Kenya, which is a real blessing. So we're so glad to see what the Lord is doing through our church, through them. And so we got to share that last week while we were there. And last night, we had a wonderful church service. Last night, I got to finish up and teach on Daniel chapter 9. And of course, you know, Mike, that crucial key to Bible prophecy, you know, the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so that was wonderful teaching there. And so we're just kind of gearing up for the summer. We have a thing planned this weekend with everybody who comes, just having a picnic together and enjoying the weather, enjoying each other and the blessings of the Lord. You know, it's been a real blessing, Mike. And we've seen a lot of new faces, a lot of new people coming, which is so exciting because, you know, they're coming because they want to hear the Bible. You know, our church, Mike, it's, you know, we're not fancy. We're not, we actually, our worship is very simple. You know, most of the time, my wife and I actually lead the worship at our church. So we don't have a lot of flash and a lot of flair, but what we've got is the Word of God, and we're seeing more people in our area who are coming, and so many more new people. And because I think we're at that time where so many churches are just giving people fluff, you know? Yep. And so that's such a blessing, and it's a blessing for us to be able to share, you know, our sermons, our teachings that we do at our church, you know, over the radio, over CSN. And we get so many calls and emails. And Mike, it was also interesting, if I could share this real quick, on the way to Kenya, we were in Minneapolis. They canceled our flights. We had to stay the night. We went out the next morning. We got onto our plane in Minneapolis to go to New York to catch another plane to Europe. And when we did, I was taking my carry-on bag, you know, down through the aisle of the plane, and a man, you know, pointed me out. He was pointing at me and said, "Hey, Pastor Scott Parker." And I looked at him, yeah, and I didn't know him. And so he saw I had a Calvary Chapel Festus t-shirt on, but he looked at me. He told me, he said, "I'm an avid listener of To Every Man an Answer." And he said, I get to watch you. That's how he recognized me, from watching us on Facebook, you know. And so it was a blessing. So he was on his way to Israel, actually, to take a tour to Israel. So it was just wonderful. It's been really wonderful. And we've had this past weekend, we had a family from Decatur, Illinois, who came to our church, and they listened to us, you know, here on To Every Man an Answer on CSN. So it's just a blessing, you know, how the Lord just gives you those opportunities. And so, you know, again, Mike, I just want to thank you for allowing us to use this platform to share the Word of God along with all the other wonderful programmers on here.
I think, again, it's, we just don't know who you touch each and every day. For every one of us, we all have something to do for our King every day. Well, to the phones we go. We go 888 Ask CSN if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Juanita, Fort Bragg, California. Hi, welcome.
Oh, hi, Mike and Pastor Parker. Yeah, I wanted to thank you, Mike, for even though we kind of like, I feel sorry for the Israelites. I wasn't going to talk about this, the Jews, the Israelites, and also the Palestinians that do believe in God. They're getting blown to bits. That was just a comment. But anyway, I wanted to thank you so much for talking about the chemtrails yesterday. I thought there's so many people in Fort Bragg that know what's going on. And my ex-husband's father worked for NASA, so I got to find out a lot about what they're doing as far as the weather, you know, what they're doing with the weather. It is real.
Well, we talked a little bit about that. Some people say, oh, it's debunked. Others say, no, there's really things going on. And, of course, John Randall had some friends that really had some things going on in their health that they couldn't explain where they were picking up some of these chemicals. I don't know. I'm not an expert on those things. I really don't comment. But I do know that from what it seems like, the thoughts of even the enemy seeding into our atmosphere smallpox virus or something else is actually quite frightening. Your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, and like you, Mike, I'm not an expert at this either, and I don't spend a lot of time, you know, on that. But, you know, there's a lot of really strange things that are happening in our world, have been happening in our world, and I think we're even going to see it get weirder just before the rapture. I mean, the rapture could happen at any moment. We know that. But I tell you what, when we read about the things that are going to happen during the tribulation period, and as we get up to that period and we get up to that time, you know, Paul, you know, in his prophecies, and as he tells us that in those days, things are just going to, they're going to get worse and worse. And that he, you know, Paul called, told Timothy that they were dangerous times, perilous times will come. And of course, he describes, he makes a long list and describes, you know, the disposition of people during that time, which we're already seeing that. And, but I don't think those, when Paul said dangerous times and perilous times, I don't think it's just talking about just the disposition of people, but just the things that are going to be happening. And, you know, Mike, from the time I was a young Christian, when I really didn't know that much about the Bible, but was, you know, but was just reading and just learning, I've always had this thought that, you know, by the time the rapture happens, people are going to think, they're going to think we're in the tribulation. They're going to think, you know, boy, what is going on? And as we do get closer to the rapture, you can see things like this just that are happening in our world. And, you know, it's the devil, you know, and the devil uses people. And sad to say, you know, he uses governments and uses those who are willing to listen to him. And so, you know, it's, but with all this, it's hard to say, because again, as Mike said, I'm not, definitely not an expert on the whole thing, but I'm just not really, Mike, anymore. I'm just not surprised with what happens in this world and the things that go on and the way people are affected by it because of the times we live in.
Yeah, I know. The more I look at everything, the more bewildered everyone I really am, because I don't think President Trump is the president. I think unelected judges are, because it doesn't matter what Trump does. Anything that Obama did, Biden did, they could do without all this stuff. Now, anything that happens is blocked by some unelected judge. And so I really don't know who's in control now at all. It seems that no matter what decision is made, some judge blocks it. I don't care what it is. He could say, I believe the sky is blue. Oh, no, there's a judge injunction now that says the sky is green. I don't know who the president is anymore. But it appears to me, and I think America needs to be concerned about this, it appears to be unelected judges that things that Obama and Biden were doing without any restrictions now is met with every single restriction there is. This is a concern to me. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. When you find this kind of absolute outrageous overreach by local judges concerning these things, friends, I'll tell you something, we got problems. And again, when you realize America is $37 trillion in debt, we got issues, and they have no plan. At least the previous administration had no plans to ever pay it off. It was just keep plunging us farther and farther in debt. So the idea, of course, with the tariffs and things like this was to offset some of these things. I don't know, but I can tell you seeding things into the atmosphere doesn't surprise me at all. And Juanita, I can't really say they do or they don't, but wow. Crazy things indeed. Hope that helps, dear. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs, okay?
Yeah, can I make one more comment?
Sure.
Please? Oh, okay, Mike. I was going to tell you that Rosalind Peterson, when she was alive, she's no longer now, but she gave me a bunch of paperwork to pass out to people. And I said, can I talk to them about God, too, and how this goes in on it? She said, yes. I said, can I sit? Then she said, when I told her about my mother's apple trees, the apples were so shriveled up and the leaves had acid like going through them, holes in them. She said, I've already got samples from other people concerning their gardens and stuff. And she said, I'd like to have samples from you. So I sent them to her. She said that they came back positive for chemicals. And so anyway, that's how I found out for sure that this is really happening. It's sick. You know, and so then they lightened up on it, and the apples grew better, and then they started getting worse and then better. But here's what somebody told me downtown about God. This is the main thing I wanted to tell you. I was talking to some people about Father God and his son, Yeshua, and this one lady said, oh, that Bible's just a crutch. It's just something you need to keep going. And she said, it's just a bunch of fairy tales. And then she said, I am God. I said, you're what? She said, I am God.
There's a fairy tale.
People were looking over at her going, what did she say? And I said, she claims to be God. And they went, huh? So that's what's going on with some people. They're getting really just, I don't know what's happening, but something's going haywire with the whole planet.
Oh, I'll tell you, I think as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, speaking of the rapture, and I believe we're here on that. Juanita, stay online, dear. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. I'll send you a little book called 101 Last Days Prophecies. I think you'll really enjoy that. Again, 8888, ASK CSN is the number to call. Let's go to Christopher in Gillette, Wyoming. Hi and welcome.
Yes, guys, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Yes, I was just wondering if the Constantinople, the eastern part of the empire, was ever referred to as the city on seven hills or just the western part, Rome?
Well, I believe that really where we talk about in the Bible, the city of seven hills, is speaking of Rome in particular. Now, Istanbul or Constantinople, actually, again, is interesting because it is a gateway between Europe and Asia. It is also a city of seven hills. But the point is, it was never a religious center. I mean, yeah, they had these different, on these different hills, mosques and different religions built. But it seems that Rome is where, again, when we understand the Roman Catholic Church is centered, still one of the richest organizations on earth. And with that kind of wealth, that kind of, you might say, spiritual influence, I would say that the Bible, when it talks about the city of Seven Hills, is referencing Rome, not Constantinople, even though both cities were considered cities of Seven Hills. Your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, Mike. And, you know, I totally agree with that, because when you look at where this idea comes from the Bible, you know, the city on Seven Hills, it comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 17. And if you look there, you'll see there in verse 9 where it's brought up. And the whole context of Revelation chapter 17 is talking about Rome itself, especially when you get down past verse 9 and it starts talking about the kings who have fallen and the one it is and the one's going to not yet come. And then it goes on to talk about the 10 horns, and those are 10 kings that are going to come together. And they're going to come together under the leadership of the beast, which is the Antichrist. All of that is speaking about the revived Roman Empire in the last days during the tribulation. And this was prophesied very, very clearly for us by the Lord through Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2, and then also by the vision that God gave Daniel in Daniel chapter 7. Now, what's interesting about that is the dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar and the vision God gave Daniel was the exact same revelation. It was about the kingdoms of men, the Gentile kingdoms, and then about their demise and their end. And the last one would be that revived Roman Empire, of which the false Christ, the Antichrist, would be ahead of and rule the world. And then, of course, when you look at those visions, you see then something else comes along more powerful than that kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. And so, of course, that's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns the second time. And then, of course, the Battle of Armageddon, he destroys the Antichrist and his armies who have come against the nation of Israel. And so when you read about that in the book of Daniel, where it's prophesied very clearly, you see it being played out there in the book of Revelation for us. And so really, that's the context of what's being said there in Revelation 17. It's telling us about really the, at the first part of that chapter, the religious, the one world religion part of Rome and the Antichrist kingdom. And then it moves down and it starts moving down into the political part where the 10 kings, you know, come together under the Antichrist and become that, you know, that revived Roman Empire in the end time. So I agree with Mike that I believe it's also speaking about Rome, or that area that Rome was seeded out of, that ruled the world at one time. Will happen again in the future, but under the leadership of the Antichrist. Mike?
And then also currently its spiritual influence in the world as well.
Sure.
Hope that helps, Christopher.
Yeah.
Does that mean that the Antichrist will necessarily come out of Europe, or could it be that he comes out of other parts that were of the Roman Empire once it gets revived?
No, I believe he'll probably come out of the old Roman Empire. You've got a vast area there of Europe in which to draw from. And something we have to remember, too, the Antichrist can appear rather rapidly. Now, remember, the devil doesn't know when the rapture of the church is either. And I believe the devil always has his wingman in the wings, whether it would be Caesar Nero, whether it was maybe Joseph Stalin, maybe it was Mussolini or Hitler, or whether it was Mao Zedong. These global dictators are always in the wings. And I believe that when the rapture comes, the devil will move his authority, his power to this individual rather rapidly. Now, right now, the Bible says the reason the Antichrist has not come to power is that which withholds or holds back is still here. But when it's taken out of the way, the Antichrist will come to power. What's holding back the Antichrist? I believe it's the Holy Spirit in the believers. Why? because it doesn't take a whole lot of believers if a guy comes on the world scene to say, you're not the Christ, you're the Antichrist. But once that voice is gone from the world, I believe the Antichrist will come to power very quickly. And again, the devil doesn't know when the rapture is, but I believe he's always got a lively candidate that he can draft in for this dastardly deed. So, Christopher, hope that helps.
Yes, and Mike, one more quick one, if I may, please.
Sure.
Okay, when it says that he won't regard the God of his father, does that necessarily mean that he's Jewish, or we just don't know?
I believe that he could be Jewish. It is interesting, the Jewish people that currently are in global influence right now. People have told me Karl Marx was a Jew. You realize that that just because they were from a race that God revealed the whole plan of salvation, how we got here, where we are, and where we're going, doesn't mean that every person that has Jewish blood in them is right with God. And this is one of the great problems that we have. In fact, some of the most ungodly people in Hollywood are people of Jewish descent. That's a troubling issue for me. People that know better or should have known better didn't. But that's not something new. That's what was the problem was when Jesus came. This has been the problem ever since Abraham was selected out by God, the rebellion of the descendants of Abraham against the very God that chose him out. It's really amazing to me. So any last thoughts?
Well, Mike, you know, the only thing I was going to add a moment ago was this, was, again, going back to the book of Daniel concerning the Antichrist and where he'll come from and who he is and all this. You know, in Daniel 9:26, Daniel gets this prophecy, you know, from Gabriel, which says after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. Then it says this, and it says, and the people of the prince who is to come. Now, the prince there with the little p, that's speaking of the Antichrist, and that becomes very evident in the next verse. What's interesting is it says the people, though, are going to come after the Messiah comes, and they're going to destroy the city and destroy the sanctuary, so destroy Jerusalem and the temple, which is what the Romans did in 70 AD. So the people that are being spoken of there were the Romans who destroyed, who actually fulfilled the scripture in 70 AD, and it says that the Antichrist, it says, and the people of the prince who is to come, again, giving us an indication that his ancestral roots, at least, will be from that old Roman Empire. So, you know, and we do know this, too, that, you know, many Jews, you know, during World War II and that whole era, you know, lived, you know, the Jews lived for a long time, for centuries, you know, in Europe and in that area. So, you know, that's very interesting. But I think it does, Daniel's 9:26, I think it does make it clear that he'll be a Roman in the sense that, you know, he's going to become out of that Roman Empire, and he's, you know, part of the people that destroyed the temple the first time, or the second time when it was destroyed in 70 AD. So anyway, I hope that helps a little bit. But yeah, that, I was teaching that last night, and that's one thing I brought out was, you know, this is showing us where he's going to rise from, and probably where his ancestral roots will be is from that old Roman Empire.
Mike. Yeah. So what I meant by, like, as an example of Mousy Tongue or something, a prominent world leader, primarily from the European area, and I believe that could be as far as Russia. I believe it could entail any of Europe, any of the old Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire was very vast at its zenith. So I really believe that, again, I can't imagine being a Christian in the 40s watching, as an example, Adolf Hitler trying to take over the world, the persecution against the Jews, Mussolini as well, Stalin. It could have been any one of those guys, but the rapture was not yet, because Israel had not yet become a nation. See, that was all part of the ingredients. Now Israel is a nation. Jesus spoke of that in Luke 21. So I really believe that, again, we are in exciting times right now as we watch the whole world in a state of flux right now. Jesus said it's the age. He said these are the beginning of sorrows, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing it globally. I mean, who would ever dream that the United States would launch a full-on attack against Somalia for their relentless bombardment of Israel? And all this kind of crazy stuff going on. We are living in some really crazy times. Russia, for really no reason, attacking the Ukraine. We find these wars and rumors of wars everywhere. Now, Pakistan and India getting ready to go at it. It's really amazing to me, these wars and rumors of wars. It's global. And people say, there's always been wars. There's always been this stuff. Yes, but these are nuclear nations. If India gets into a fight with Pakistan and they start setting off atomic bombs, it's going to wreck all of our days. See, this is what we fail to realize. And I believe the outline there that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 24 concerning the beginning of sorrows is it can be a localized conflict in a small area, but affect the entire earth. And I believe this is what Jesus was speaking about so clearly. Christopher, I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you. God bless.
Blessing to you. Stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. And Scott, any last thoughts?
Yeah, just real quick, Christopher. There is something I want to bring up real quick, just about that question you had about Daniel 11:37, that he will not regard the God of his fathers. What's interesting is in Hebrew, that word God is Elohim, which is plural. And in that context, that word is plural, just as the word fathers is plural. And if you look at other translations besides the King James, New King James, they all translate it as gods, plural with a little g, which means the Romans had a plethora of gods. So again, I think it could go back to speaking that he's from the Roman, Roman or European or something like that. So, Mike.
Christopher, stay online. We'll get you taken care of. And that little jingle there you hear in the background lets us know we are coming upon a break. We don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more to Every Man an Answer right after these messages.
Every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles. How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday with Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel Festus, St. Louis, Missouri. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we're going to go right back to the phones. We have with us on the line Jeremy from St. George, Utah. Hi, and welcome.
Hello. Hey, my question is, it's tough to phrase it, but I've been wondering how much influence does like the adversary, the devil, all just as a whole, with strongholds and things, have on born-again Christian believers? And that kind of ties in with can these devils, demons, whatever, fallen angels, can they actually inhabit places as well as, I mean, I don't believe that the Bible says that a Christian, born-again Christian, can ever become demon-possessed, of course, unless they fall away or something. But you know, just like inhabit, you know, vehicles or just, you know, a house or something that, you know, maybe a Christian family or born-again Christian would move into.
Well, like that. The Bible seems to indicate that they're somewhat territorial. We remember Jesus said, when you cast out a unclean spirit, if that spirit comes back and finds it clean and swept, he'll go out and find seven demons worse than himself and move into the person. That's why when a person is delivered from demonic activity, you always want to do everything you can do to get them to accept the Lord. Otherwise, he'll be worse off than he was before. Now, remember this concerning Christians. The devil can only do to a Christian what God the Father allows. We remember in the book of Job, proof text, the devil wanted to kill him. But we remember God limited what he allowed the devil to do with Job, not to be mean to Job, but I think to prove a point that oftentimes I do believe God can allow things to happen to us that will drive us to our knees, that we would more embrace the promises and the program of God in our life than our own. This is one of the great problems without trials and problems that I believe come from the underworld, because Peter said, your adversary, the devil, the adversary, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So we're very much aware that we have a real enemy. We are protected by the Spirit of God. Again, when you go to the book of Luke, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. I believe that is the promise, the keeping, the guardian angels of God in a believer's life. I think it's really important to understand that. But what we also have to realize is that the devil does make his move on us. And I believe that if God ever allows that, as it was in the case of Job, I believe that that was only to refine Job, and God turned around and blessed Job immensely for his faithfulness. Your thoughts, Scott?
That's right. You know, and this is a big subject because, and there is in the church, there's a lot of confusion over this, but I agree with Mike. And here's the thing, you know, when a person is born again, the Holy Spirit, the Bible makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit comes into them and takes residence in their spirit, makes their dead spirit alive, and now you're one with the Lord through the Holy Spirit that's in us, okay? And we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, and here's what it says. It says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Now, it's not saying that a Christian doesn't sin occasionally. What it means there in the context, in the Greek, is a real believer does not continue in sin. He doesn't continue in his sinful patterns. When he does sin, he confesses, he repents, and turns from them. It goes on to say, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, or literally it means God keeps him. And it says this, and the wicked one does not touch him. And so when we become believers, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Bible actually says that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And one of the ancient meanings of the word seal was to be a mark of protection. When someone sealed something that belonged to them, other people weren't to touch it because it belonged to that person. It provided a certain amount of protection. And also the seal was to prove that whatever was sealed was authentic And it was off limits to everybody except the owner. That particular package or whatever it was that had the seal on it belonged to the owner who sealed it. And that's what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit in us. We have been sealed. So, you know, we've been protected through the Holy Spirit. Now, I do believe this. I do believe that there's ways Christians can open themselves up to the power of the enemy against them and give the enemy an upper hand. And I think the greatest ways, biblically, that Satan comes against Christians is, number one, it's through temptation. That's the greatest way. That's the greatest source of our spiritual warfare is temptation to sin. And I believe the other one is what God did to Eve in the garden, trying to get us to doubt God's word, because if he can get us to doubt God's word, then we don't lean on his promises and we don't trust the Lord. We take things in our own hands. And I believe when we do that, we're kind of going up against the devil on our own. And I think there's things like that we can do. Also, if we do continue in patterns of sin, knowing that it's sin, knowing that it's wrong, but continuing rebellion against God, even as a Christian, I believe we're opening ourselves up to demonic attacks. I do not believe, the Bible says at all, that a Christian can be demon-possessed. No way at all. The Bible makes it very clear. Paul made it clear to the Corinthians that the Spirit of Christ, that God does not inhabit and share the same temple with Belial or with the devil. I make that very clear. But if believers aren't careful, just as Mike said, the devil is described to us by Peter as a roaring lion. He's crouching, he's waiting, he's looking for a vulnerable time to attack us. And so we do have to be vigilant. We have to be sober. We have to live our lives filled with the Holy Spirit and watching. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, when Jesus said, watch and pray, watching always has the indication of praying, being a prayerful Christian. So, you know, I believe when it comes to what the enemy can do to us or not do it to us, I believe that those are kind of the lines biblically. Now, I will say this, for me, when it comes to the idea of can a demon or the devil, you know, inhabit a physical house or attach himself to physical objects, we do know, right, there is paraphernalia of the devil. There's activities and things that people can do where they open themselves up to demons. But I don't believe, because demons are spirit beings, I don't believe they attach themselves to or like live in physical houses. Because when you look in the Bible, what you see is demons are always looking for a living being. They're looking for a body to inhabit and to possess. Why? Because as spirit beings, the way they can manifest themselves and the way they can express themselves is through the being that they possess. Whether that's a person, or we know from the Gospels, it could even be an animal. I mean, the demons went into the pigs, you know, and then that was the end of them. So I think it's very interesting in that. I don't think there's anything to worry about. I don't correct people for doing it. If people move into a home and they want to anoint their house and pray over it in case, you know, there are bad things that happen there. Myself, personally, I believe that's a little superstitious. But I wouldn't correct another Christian for doing it. I don't think it's worth an argument. But I think we do need to understand that the devil does have limits. Just as Mike said, whenever the devil came against Job, it was by God's permission and only by God's allowance. And then also, when it came to Peter in the New Testament, Jesus told Peter right before Jesus' hour was to come and Peter was going to deny Jesus, you know, Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, you know, but I've prayed for you. And it's very interesting there, because he's telling him that Satan is actually, he's asking for permission, and that Satan couldn't do anything to Peter unless the Lord allowed it again. So I take great comfort knowing that though the devil's powerful, and he is, and we must never underestimate him on our own as Christians, and we must never go up against him by ourselves. That's why Paul in Ephesians 6 wrote to the church at Ephesus and said to stand strong in the power of his might, not our own, and put on the armor of God, and to stand in the power of the Lord's might, not our own. And when we do on our own, I think that's where we open ourselves up to the attacks of the enemy. So anyway, I hope that helps a little. Mike?
Hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. I guess that brought me to why my reasoning behind this. I don't know if you know, I've called in the past, but I have a very staunch, very strict LDS family, and mm-hmm. I've been trying to work with them and pray for them, do all these things for years and decades. And I actually, I'm under the impression that that Mormonism teaches blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, just it seems like I'm failing at it very miserably quite often, even with the help of others, but I don't really seem to get much of that. So, this was a great way you answered it, so I appreciate that. And I was going to say also, if you could keep those explanations of that book, Misguided by Mormonism, coming on the air, because that's very helpful. That's a very, very important book for me. And, I just pray blessings over CSN, because your program is really pretty much most of the fellowship that I've been able to have throughout the years. So appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, I really thank God for what we do here at CSN. And, you know, there are some communities out in Nevada. I had a lady call up onto Every Man an Answer and say, you know, you're the only Christian voice in our area. All the other churches are of Mormons or whatever, and you're the only Christian voice that is in our entire valley. And I thought, you know, amazing. You know, here this little station is out there, and you think oftentimes, well, you know, it doesn't make a lot of money. So many Christian broadcasters get rid of those stations. And we keep those on the air only to find out that it is the only Christian voice out there. And I look at this and I think it's really amazing how all of us together can do something that we independently could never do. Nobody's wearing Rolex watches. Nobody's flying Learjets here. We're just trying to keep the gospel on as long as we can, while we can, while the Lord allows us to do that. And again, when you look at this and realize that it's something we all do together, I'm just very blessed that it's able to reach you, Jeremy, as well as everyone else. Now, do you have the three little booklets that I give out? Did I send those to you?
You know, actually, I'll tell you, honestly, for a whole bunch of those little CSN buttons to Every Man Answer, I just like a boatload of them. And Ask Your Bishop, and is Mormonism
yes,
based
yes.
on I have three of those, but I only have the ones for myself. So, yeah, as many of those as you could get, I'd just be greatly appreciated.
We'll try to get some of those out to you, because I think that it really is important. You mentioned earlier, and for those that are listening, if you're in the LDS faith, I've studied the Book of Mormon. I'm quite taken back by the Book of Mormon versus what the Mormon Church believes, because nothing in the Book of Mormon, as an example, that are the key doctrines of the Mormon Church are found in it, such as you're going to be a God yourself someday. Not in the Book of Mormon. That as man is, he will become God. And as God is, he was once a man. Not in the Book of Mormon. That you're going to be sealed for time and eternity to your spouse. Not in the Book of Mormon. That Satan and Jesus are brothers. And by the way, what you said earlier about them saying blasphemous things, that's blasphemous. Jesus is God. He's not a created being. He's not the half-brother of Lucifer, if you will. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Very clear. Again, you're going to be a God yourself someday, that there's three levels of heaven. Not in the Book of Mormon. None of the pertinent doctrines of the LDS Church are really in the Book of Mormon. And yet that is the book they give you when they come to your door. They don't give you the Journal of Discourses or the Book of Abraham or some of these other books. They give you that one. Well, the problem is being sealed for time and eternity. That's not in the Book of Mormon. God was once a man like us, not in the Book of Mormon. Baptism for the dead, not in the Book of Mormon. So these are real trouble, because if I'm going to go door to door and give out something, I'm going to give them something that represents my beliefs, my church, as accurately as I can. And the Book of Mormon doesn't do that. When I go door to door, I hand out a Bible. That's exactly what I believe. And that's so important to understand the difference. So, Jeremy, stay in line. We'll send out some more books, little booklets for you. Again, a good place to go on the internet for those listening, you can go to forwitness.org, the number four, witness, WITNESS, the number four, forwitness.org. There's a lot of really good information how to reach people that are in the Mormon faith. My heart goes out to them. Do you realize when you pray with a Mormon and they go, let's pray right now. Oh, Father, you know who they're praying to? They're praying to Adam who fell in the garden. That's right, friends. If you're a Mormon listening to this, you might say, I don't believe that. You probably don't, but your church does. And you may not say, oh, I don't believe Satan and Jesus are brothers. Your church does. I know a man that came to me, being in Idaho, where there's many, many Mormons, and I love Mormons dearly. I wouldn't even, if I didn't care, I wouldn't say a word. And I had him come to me, and he said, we don't believe that. And I said, go ask your bishop. And he came back, he said, Mike, I had no idea our church believed that. So it's important because, see, if you just only read the Book of Mormon, you wouldn't pick this up. So I think it's really important that we understand that, as it says in Isaiah 44, I am God alone, besides me there is no other, period. And why this is important is the Mormon Church teaches you're going to be a God yourself someday. If you are sealed in the temple, you go through the Mormon progression, you're going to get your own planet, spirit babies, and you're going to be God of your own world. No, no, no. Isaiah 44 says no. And so these are just things I want to caution people over, because, again, to say Satan and Jesus are brothers, that's abominable. Jesus is God. Read Matthew chapter 1. He shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That's who Jesus is. Jesus claimed to be the I am, the one that Moses talked to in the burning bush. In John 8:58, and they picked up stones to stone him because he was claiming to be God. In John 8:59. No, he's not a created being, friends. He's not a spirit baby that came about, and the plan of salvation was presented before the Father, and God the Father liked Jesus' plan of salvation more than Lucifer's, so Satan got angry and stomped out and became the devil. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Book of Mormon teaches. And I think this is something that we have to be very much aware of, because when we talk to people in other faiths, they will use the same words we do: Father, heaven, hell, salvation, Jesus, with completely different definitions. And that's what the problem is. Hope this helps, Jeremy. Stay in line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, okay?
Great. Is it possible to get just one more copy of that Misguided by Mormonism too?
Stay on the line, and our friendly operators will help you out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. And again, we love people here. I, you know, it's just like any of you that have children. And you say, oh, you kids, I just love you. And this is one of the great diseases right now within the Christian church. We just love everybody because God is love. I'm cool. You're cool. We're all going to groove together, cuckoo-ca-choo. Well, if you love your children, you're not going to be letting them light the living room furniture on fire. If you love your children, you're not going to let them be doing cocaine off your kitchen table. If you really love your children, you're going to watch over them and say no when things are wrong. And we have to do that. And it's not pleasant. And it hurts me to even have to say these things sometimes. But if we're going to live by what God's word says, we have to live by what God's word says. And the Bible says in the last days, they're going to come preaching another Jesus than the one that he delivered unto them. Jesus, according to the Bible, is God, born on this earth, God's only begotten son, part of the triunity of God. Going back to Genesis 1, in the beginning, Elohim, God created the heavens and the earth. Speaking of a plural or triunal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then to come along and say, no, God was once a man like us, and Satan and Jesus are brothers, and you're going to be a God yourself of your own planet someday. And that there is a second chance by baptism for the dead. When the Bible says in Hebrews 9, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. This idea of purgatory or second chances or baptism for the dead is false. I don't say these things because I'm mad at people. I say these things because they're true. Listen, I was raised myself in a church that believed that the Holy Spirit died with the apostles. Yes, you can take it with you when you go, and they did. And then as I began to read the Bible on my own and read Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since miracles did not start in Acts chapter 2, they're all the way through the Bible, I realized the church, though I love them, were wrong. Miracles are still today. And if you live close enough to the edge of evangelism and sharing God's word, you will see those miracles. So important. Back to the phones we go. Frank, Tallahassee.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Hey there. Nice speaking with you, gentlemen. Long-time listener, but being a pizza driver, I don't get to actually listen to the full thing. My question for y'all is about divorce. Like I said, I've listened in the past, but as a pizza driver, I have to jump in and out of my car. What the Bible says about divorce, and specifically about transgenderism as it is today, because the person I call wife believes herself to be a man now. What does the Bible say about it?
Well, the Bible says that God created a male and female. Every cell in your body has the DNA. You either have an XX or XY chromosome, and that's what you are. So you can be delusional and say, I think I'm a puppy dog. And by the way, some people do. They're called furries. That doesn't make you a dog. A man can say, I'm a woman, put on a dress, compete in women's sports and take their scholarships, but that doesn't make you a woman. So no, delusionalism is everywhere, and I think we have to be very careful. And again, if a person wants to depart from the faith, and I believe indirectly that is, the Bible says you're not bound under such cases as far as marriage goes. Your thoughts, Scott?
Mike, that's exactly what I was thinking, just what you said there. As I think about this, I think about a person. And of course, Frank, you know, the question I would have is how far down the line in this lifestyle is she? You know, is this something that is just new that she's just now saying? Because if it is, then I would seek the counsel from a pastor. I would go to a pastor together with her for marriage counseling.
Yes,
and
yes,
and have
absolutely.
That, you know, and have that dealt with biblically, just as Mike was, you know, doing there very shortly. And there's only so much we can do here on the air. I would do that if she's deep into it already. And being deep into it, you know, to where she's not willing to turn back. As Mike said, she has left the faith. And according to Paul, you know, in 1 Corinthians 7, you know, he talks about basically being married to an unbelieving spouse and says, well, stay with them if they want to stay with you. But, you know, in this case, you know, there's also, I don't know if I'd call it deception. I mean, she's been deceived. But when you married her as she was as a woman. And if she says, I want to change and become a man, I don't see anything biblically that would hold you to that marriage if that's the way she wants to go.
Do you have kids? So
that would be my advice.
Do you have kids with her?
No, I do not. In fact, I haven't seen hide nor hair of her for almost 6-7 years.
Oh, well, then she's the unbelieving depart. Yes, you're not bound exactly. Under such cases, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Yeah. Frank, stay in line, and we'll send you out some books and DVDs. David, the rest, please call us. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thanks, Scott, for being on. Until then, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. God bless you.
357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.